not they. What are you going to do with that mercy towards others? You're talking directly to me too. So today we talk about healing through forgiveness and what that really means to us. And Father, today as we move into this topic, I just pray that you'll open hearts. This wonderful atmosphere that you've just been here with us today. We continue to keep ourselves open to you and listening for your voice. Come in all the ways that you desire, Lord. But as we talk about this topic that's kind of difficult today, I pray that you'll guard our hearts. Be our protector today. Guide us through this in Jesus' name. Thank you. We've heard often, you know, forgiveness isn't for you, for the other person, it's for you. And in our heads, we understand that. It makes sense to us. But it's a lot harder to live out. When we talk about forgiveness today, we need to remember that it's something that heals the human soul. And for those of us that are connected with God, that have Him in our lives, it's something that opens the door for God's nature to cover all of creation through you. Because that's what He wants to do. You know, Scripture tells us that God intends to fully cover creation with His nature. We've read that. We've heard that. But how do we visualize that? I don't know about you guys, but I'm a picture person in my head. When I'm reading a book, I'm in the book. I'm walking down the road. I see what the house looks like. I see what, you know, the scenery is like. And if they make a movie of it, it's never like I saw it. I think, no, that's not right. That's not how it was at all. I do that when I read the scriptures, too, because it helps put me there. And when you think of God's nature covering the earth, you almost think, you know, maybe there's this big fog that hovers over everything because we don't have a clear picture of what God would look like necessarily in our minds other than what we see in picture books that people have written. But that's not what it looks like. The reality of God's nature covering earth is us. We're that cloud. We're the way. He uses our human soul if we give Him permission. He inhabits us and He covers the creation with you and me. So if we are to represent Him over the earth and take dominion over creation, then we're able to bring God's nature into everything we touch. And that's what dominion means. It doesn't mean that I'm ordering everything around necessarily. It means that I'm bringing God's nature into the very atmosphere that I live in. We receive from Him, we contain Him in our hearts and in our souls, and then we broadcast what He wants us to broadcast out into the world. That's His nature covering the earth. The problem is we don't often think correctly about what we represent if we're not careful. Remember those things we've been talking about lately about asking the right questions and kind of thinking just a little bit differently towards something. A lot of times what it looks like when we try to bring God's nature to the earth, we think of it as a moral transformation. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to help you, LaRoyce. You need to be better and do better like I do better. And we think that's God's nature covering the earth. But the problem is when we do that, we're not bringing that joy, that peace, patience, all those fruits of the Spirit that God talks about, we're not bringing His nature, we're bringing what we think His nature is. And that's a big difference. I'll just paraphrase this one out of Romans 12, 18 through 21. Most of us have heard pieces of this at least. It tells us, if possible, be at peace with all men, and to not try to overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay. The thing is, we have to understand that overcoming evil starts right in here. Overcoming evil with good starts right in here. It can't go out here until I have it, until I can overcome any evil that I have inside of myself with good. Then I don't have it to broadcast to everybody else. You see, it means you start with your heart, and I'll start with mine. I'm not going to start with Joy's heart. That's between her and God. That's where she starts, overcoming evil with good. And then, little by little, your circle can widen in helping spread the nature of God. It means that we can bring to any interaction, exchange, or event the actual presence of those fruits of the Spirit. We can actually represent, he says we're supposed to represent him, right? Represent God and have dominion over creation. It's very exciting, but it's also full of responsibility, isn't it? In Romans 8, 38 through 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When it says nothing can separate us, I truly believe that. Nothing. That means even I can't separate myself from his love. That's a big one. But then it also means that nothing can make it impossible for me to love. And when we let that one sink in, that's even tougher sometimes. Because there's people out there that, you know, they're just begging not to be loved in our lives sometimes. Oh, but how is that possible? He says, nothing can separate us from his love. And if we're representing him, representing him, then it's not impossible for us to love in situations as well. So we have the responsibility, we have choices. And remember, forgiveness opens that door so that we can spread his nature throughout creation. As we move into what forgiveness actually is, folks, we're talking about pain here. If you've lived at all, you've been hurt. That's just the way life is. And unfortunately, if you've lived in the church, if you've been a part of the church for any length of time, then you've been hurt in the church as well. Why is that? Because the church is full of imperfect people. We make mistakes. Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we don't do it on purpose. But we make mistakes. And I'm not talking about I invited LaRoyce out for lunch and she didn't have the time. She had something else going on and so that kind of hurt my feelings and I moved on. I'm not talking about that kind of pain. I'm talking about hurts that are just simply so deep and aching that it's like a toothache inside of you. Where something happened to the point that just the slightest thing will remind you and before long it starts to consume you. It makes you not you because of this pain. It wants absolute revenge or total withdrawal. Because these things happen and they're valid. That's the kind of pain I'm talking about. You see, Christians and pastors and people that we go to, when you walk up, when you tell them, you know, I have this thing that happened to me and it really hurts. And a lot of times, you know, they will tell you something that's there's truth in. They'll say, oh, all you have to do is forgive. Just let it go. And what happens? All of our walls go, psh, psh, come right up. All of our protections. And our soul starts to protect itself. And we say, they have no idea what I've been through if they can say that. No idea how painful it was, how wrong it was, what a betrayal it was. They have no idea. Because thinking about forgiveness, it assaults our sense of justice. If we think if we forgive, then justice will not come in that situation. And in our thinking, it even invalidates what we've been through. If I forgive, then it's like it never happened. So what we end up doing is throwing out the truth about forgiveness, with all the confusion and everything else that comes with it. So before we actually move into how to work with forgiveness, let's talk about what it's not, okay? We're not asking you to take away boundaries. We're not asking those things. See, in Matthew 6:15, it says, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Most of us have heard that. And automatically, because we're humans, we see that verse and we think, okay, he's up there kind of being all petty and saying, well, if you won't forgive, then I won't forgive. because that's how we are with people. Well, they need to ask for my forgiveness first, and then maybe I'll think about it. That's not God. He's not up there withholding his forgiveness because we don't forgive others. That's not what he's saying there. He's talking about giving us facts. He's talking about if we don't forgive, it doesn't open up that capacity in us for us to be forgiven. It doesn't open up that ability within us to spread his nature. It's a warning. It's facts. It's like, if you do this, this is how it's going to be. It's not, I'm going to punish you for that. So what is it not? Let's get down to brass tacks here. What is forgiveness not? It's not denial. Denial is when you lie to yourself about something to the point that you actually believe it. You start convincing yourself that it's true. We're not sitting there denying what happened or trying to tell ourselves it didn't happen, trying to make it okay. That's not forgiveness. I like this way of remembering denial. Don't even know I am lying. Denial. How many of you have either had that happen in your life or met someone that you know what they're telling you isn't what you remember about something, but they absolutely believe what they're saying? Denial. Forgiveness is not repression. For those of you that were here the last time I spoke, repression. If you push things down inside you and you just keep pushing it down and pushing it down and pushing it down, that's not forgiveness. Because the more you swallow something down, the more pressure builds inside until one day it's going to blow. It's going to come out in some way in your life. It can be anger. It can be depression. It can be anxiety. It can be a physical illness. It's going to come out at some point. So that's not what forgiveness is. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about forgetting. God is the only one who can do that. We can't forget. So you don't have to keep beating yourself up and say, I haven't forgiven because I still remember what happened. You don't have that ability. Take that pressure off yourself. So it is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not letting the offender off the hook. It doesn't mean that if there is appropriate law and justice involved in our society, that if you have participated in that, somehow you haven't forgiven. That's not what we're talking about. Because in that, not letting the offender off the hook, there's also not being a doormat. It's not that either. To forgive somebody, you do not have to allow evil to continue acting evilly toward you. There's wisdom involved here. It's not your place to absorb the pain that somebody else is broadcasting. Because often when they act out toward you in that way, that's what they're doing. They're broadcasting their own pain. But it's not your job to absorb that. We don't have to take on their sin. We're not Jesus. We're not Christ. We're not their Savior. That's not for us. We have to set boundaries in our lives. And because we do, that doesn't mean we haven't forgiven. But we have to set those boundaries, those healthy boundaries that allow you to heal. We're going to go through a little bit of a diagram here. They're going to put it up behind me on the wall. And if it's not something that's easily readable, we can certainly make it available later if anybody needs it. But it really gives you a picture in your mind of how forgiveness and unforgiveness works. And like I said, I'm a picture person, so something like this helps me out a lot. You see, in this diagram, those two circles, we're going to call one the sinner and one me for today's purposes, okay? Don't forget, as we're talking about this, that sometimes our roles are flipped. Sometimes we're that person that sinned against somebody else, and that other person is the person that needs to find forgiveness. But for today's purposes, this is how we're going to talk about it. What happens is the event. Whatever took place in your life, the sinner sins against me. The event happened, wasn't something we can control most of the time, and was very, very deeply hurtful. Our reaction is exactly what it should be. It gives us pain and fear. pain or fear, either one or both, because it hurt. Pain and fear are that thing that alerts us, hey, something happened here that shouldn't have. Most of the time, our reaction after pain and fear, anger. Oh, they shouldn't have done that to me. Anger in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's another one of those emotions that says, hey, something's not right here. You need to deal with this. Whether it's within you or within another person, something's not right. How you express that anger, that can be a problem. The anger comes because we need justice. We need for this to be taken care of. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They hurt me, they need to be hurt back. And out of that sense of justice, we're sure we're going to see our healing. But what we've done in trying to get our healing is pointed ourselves right back up to the center. When the next slide comes up, it'll show you. We've consumed ourselves with that person or that group of people and what has happened to us at that point. And we've decided that that's going to be where our healing comes from because we're trying to fix it. The problem is, in everything we do, there's always two parts to a process. There's always my part and there's God's part. The first part, my part, is a decision. I have to make a decision. I have to choose to live with the consequences of what happened and whatever they did to me and never hold it to their account again. And that's not easy, but it's a decision. And once we reach that decision, what ends up happening is it automatically begins to restore our mind. Because we're not doing something in and of ourselves. He's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to forgive through him, not to forgive of ourselves. He's already actually enacted that forgiveness for us at this point. We just need to access it. Why does it restore our mind? Because what's been on your mind all this time? What has it been filled with? The event that happened and the person that did it. You get your mind back. You get to move forward in your life. It also gives the sinner back to God. You make a conscious decision that it's up to God what happens here. That justice piece, that's up to God. And when we turn it over to him, we have to be ready for his brand of justice, not ours. Because for him, when he looks at justice, he says it makes wrong things right. It's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth for him. What if he is able to restore this person? Would you be okay with that? When you turn it over to him, you have to be ready for his justice, not yours. And by doing that, once that decision's made, you make the second part possible, his part, which is bringing healing to you. It opens up that avenue. When we look at this, let's just be careful how we view it, because this is not meant to be a tool to manipulate a spiritual realm, what we're talking about here, okay? We're giving God access to the people that, you know, we may not have access to right now because of what happened. We're allowing him to flow through us. It gives God access to human hearts that you might have actually been in the way of because you wanted to exact justice. To some degree, everybody in here understands that, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the world, that he died for my sins. When we look at that, we need to be careful to understand he didn't just die for mine. He died for theirs too. Even the person that treated you like that. And when we want to resist that thought, we've got to remember what he went through, you guys. Think about back even leading up to his death. The Garden of Gethsemane. Betrayed by his friends. He was beaten. He was completely betrayed. He was whipped. It wasn't just physical. He was insulted. He was spit on. He took all of that because he's the one who's supposed to carry those things. That's not up to us to carry, you guys. The after effects of this. He knew that we're not designed to carry them. Take that into your heart for a minute. You are not designed to carry the pain that you've been carrying. You give Jesus not only the sins that you've done, but the sins that have been done against you. And that's a tougher one. As anybody in this place can attest to, we've all been hurt. In my life, I can pick just one out of many because that's how life is, right? We live with imperfect people. I've had a rare opportunity recently, and I really have enjoyed it. I do feel like I was able to forgive and release a situation from several years back. And I feel like I can measure that by when the topic comes up, how I react, when, you know, even in seeing people that were involved, how that makes me feel. And thank you, Jesus, I was able to release that to him and let him have it. I've been given the rare opportunity to see what his justice looked like. And it's so precious to see that they weren't left out there and that all this time there's been inner workings behind the scenes. There's been definitely justice that has come into play that we would think of justice, but also a lot of redemption, amazing softening and redemption. I don't think we always get that opportunity in our lives, and I just, man, I'm so grateful for it. The process of forgiveness can be just that. As you let go, it can be a lightening of a burden almost immediately, or it can just be kind of the start of something where over the next few weeks and over the next few days, something else pops up in your mind and go, oh, okay, Lord, I need to forgive. And just because it doesn't pop up today doesn't mean you missed something. It means you're supposed to deal with that later. He'll be faithful. As we've been talking about this, things have popped up into your head. Maybe one specific incident, maybe more than one. And we're not going to lengthen this out a long time today. I think God has some business he wants to do with us. We're just going to take a few minutes here and let God talk with us about this. And remember what I said earlier. It can be an impression. It can be just kind of a knowing that's in your heart. You can have a dream. Some people see open visions. It can be a picture that pops into your head. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes for a few minutes while I talk here and focus on what I'm saying and what God is trying to say to you at the same time. It's time that we take those sins that have been committed against us and we give them to him. Now, it's time if you're ready. You are the only one who knows when you're ready. This is not about coercion. This is not about twisting anybody's arm. This is about information to lead towards healing. And I'm going to pray some specific prayers here and kind of lead you along a path, but that's all it is. Rote prayers do not break anything. It's a change of heart that breaks something and giving God the opportunity. Here's what something like this can sound like. Jesus, I choose to forgive Fred. We'll just put a word in there. You fill that blank with what God has brought to your mind today if you're ready. And if you're not ready, just pray for those that are. And be ready for God to be talking to you in the next days and weeks. You see, if you say, Jesus, I forgive, I choose to forgive Fred, you're not trying to conjure something up. You're giving him access to that. You're choosing to live with the consequences and no longer hold it against Fred. And you don't have to say this aloud, but say these words at least in your head that say, Jesus, I forgive them for. Say what it is. Don't just gloss it over. Don't minimize it. Name it. I forgive him for leaving me, for harming me, for abusing me, for rejecting me. Give it the truth. It is what it is. Don't minimize it. This exercise, you're gathering this up and you're giving it to him. Say, when they did this to me, it made me feel. Tell him how it made you feel. Alone. Afraid. Rejected. And if you can't put a name behind it, if it's something you can't name, ask him what it is. He'll help you. Say, Lord, what is this feeling you want to take from me? I'm not going to rush this. Do business with him. Now, Lord, I bring all this to you. What do you want to do with them? Let him show you what he's going to do. Let him bring a picture in your mind. And even better, Lord, what do you want to give me back in return for what I've given to you? If you're in the dealings of God, stay there. If you're not, consider a couple of other things here that can be an issue. Do you need to forgive yourself? Do you need to go through this same process and say, I choose to forgive me for whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Do you need to forgive God? Now, it's true, he doesn't sin against us. But we can harbor anger and unforgiveness towards him that separates us from him, and he does not want that separation. Say, God, these things happened, and I held it against you. And today I choose to forgive you. He knows. Don't be afraid to say it. Over the next few days and weeks, he's going to bring more if you give him permission to, and remind you of things that maybe have been eating away inside that you've not even recognized are there. Give him a chance like we did today to turn it over to him. Those words aren't magic, but it helps us process through what God wants to do. I'm not going to do a big altar call today. I feel like this is very personal. If you want prayer, we're going to be around, and we'll be glad to. But I think we're supposed to walk away with this in our hearts. And so, Father, over this congregation today, not just here, but in our lives as we leave, help us represent you. But we've all been beat up in our lives, Lord. We choose to bring all of that to you. And we choose to reclaim our minds and give those people or groups of people over to you. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to confront things that aren't easy. Guide and guard and protect our hearts in the coming days. as we see these wounds begin to heal. Thank you, Father. When you feel like you would like to slip out, feel free. For those that want to just stay in this for a while, we're going to keep it like this for a little bit. Have a good week.